Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
I'm excited to talk with you today. I believe God's got a good word for you. I'm going to share my heart and do my due diligence and be as passionate as I can and try to deliver it in a way that you can receive it and catch it. And I trust that you have ears to hear today. Pastor Bill has been in a little bit of a vein the last week, if you've been here at Guts Church, talking about favor in your life and proclaiming an acceptable year of the Lord in your life. Well, we talked about coming into our 25th year of ministry and just a declaration as our senior pastor over your lives, your families, and over this congregation, that it would be that acceptable year of the Lord, that life of favor. And coming in 25 years, that it's 5 times 5, and that number 5 represents grace and favor upon favor in your life, and grace upon grace in your life. And so the scripture he's obviously used is from Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. I want to read it so you can see it for yourself. But he talks about Jesus picked up the scroll in the tabernacle, in the temple, or that day, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the broken. Brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim, to say, to shout, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." The New Living Translation says a time of the Lord's favor. The New American Standard says a favorable year of the Lord, a life of favor in your life. It is a proclamation of our senior pastor on your life and in your family and over this church. And I challenge you, can you receive that? I know for me in my own life, my roots go deep in this church. This is my church. This is my home. And when my senior pastor makes a declaration over my life or over my future from God's word, I receive that and I make it personal for my life. My question to you this morning is, can you receive that declaration over your life? Can you receive the promise of favor over your life? Man, we've all faced adversities. We've all faced difficulties. And we all know our life past. And we all know what we've done and what we haven't done. But can you receive the promise of favor on your life? Can you see it for yourself? Can you catch a vision? Can you catch a glimpse of the life that God has for you? In spite of the trials you face, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of what you're born into, can you catch a vision for the future? I've titled this message this morning, Forward Focus, a focus of pressing forward and looking forward to the plans and the life that God has for you. It may not be drawn up the way you want it to be drawn up. You may not have been drawn up in the past the way you want it to be drawn up. But today and from this day forward, going forward, can your focus be on the favor of God in your life? Can your focus, can you identify that I'm favored by God? Can you grasp that? It's one thing to hear it and get a little emotional about it and be encouraged with it and like the idea of it, but can you embrace it? Can you conform to it? Can you identify with it? Can you leave here with an expectation that I expect things to go well for me? I expect things to work together for my good. I expect the trials and challenges I face to come together for good in my life. I expect to win. I expect to go from glory to glory to glory. I expect to overcome obstacles that I'm going to face in the future. I expect to overcome the obstacles I'm currently facing. What is your expectation and your identity pressing forward? Can you visualize yourself winning? Can you visualize yourself doing well and things going well for you? Can you visualize promotion? Can you visualize peace in your home? Can you visualize victory from the challenge you face? Can you catch a vision for it in your life? Pastor Bill shared a quote with us last Wednesday night that I thought was pretty strong, and it simply said this: a man without vision is a man without a future, and a man without a future is guaranteed to visit his past or go back to his past. I think that's a pretty strong concept, a very strong truth, a very strong principle. I have a quote that I want to share with you too, that a few months ago, just thinking about the concept of vision and the power of vision. The Bible says that without vision, people cast off restraint. There's no boundaries. There's no discipline. There's no rails to keep you in line when you have no vision. Whatever's whatever. You know what I mean? I got to know where I'm going. I'm just riding along for the ride. However, whatever life throws at me, I'm going to just kind of ride it out. And there's no vision for where I'm going. So I cast off restraint or I cast off boundaries. So what you need to understand this morning is that I want you to catch a vision for your life, because vision is the catalyst in your life that will transform the rules that suppress you and keep you down and transform them into boundaries that will propel you forward in your life. See, what happens is when I have no vision, I'll go back to the example of health and fitness. If you're trying to lose weight or you want to get healthy, you say, well, you no sugar. You can't eat sugar. Oh, rule. Well, you shouldn't eat, pass the time, rule, right? Can't drink sodas, big rule. right? Rules, rules, all these rules. But when you catch a vision for your health, when you catch a vision for your future, when you can see yourself running and jumping with your kids and with your grandkids, when you can see yourself feeling healthy at Christmas, when you can see yourself and you have a vision for it, you embrace the boundaries because this is where I'm going. So it's no longer I can't have, I don't want to have. Nothing changed. The rules are the same, but my heart shifted and changed because I caught a vision for where I was going for my life. You've got to catch a vision for where you're going. I want to be a man of God, a woman of God. I catch a vision for my marriage. I catch a vision for my health. I catch a vision for my finances. I catch a vision for where I want to go in my life, in my career, whatever it is. You catch a vision, then you embrace the boundaries. We're not going to go out and spend money eating out because I have a vision for our finances. I'm not going to eat that because I have a vision for my health. I'm not going to say that to my wife because I have a vision for my marriage. Man, I have a vision for being the man of God. So what do? We take the rules of being a Christian and being at church and reading my Bible and praying, and they become boundaries and help to get me being the man of God I want to be. I put myself around the right people. It's going to help me conform to the image of Christ. I put myself in these seats. It's going to help me conform to the image of Christ. Man, I listen to the right things, the right music, the right pastor. It's going to help podcast. It's going to help me conform to the image of Christ. Man, those are the things that's going to make a difference. Me taking a few extra minutes to in the morning, getting up a little bit earlier to get in the Word before I leave, that's going to help me conform to the image of Christ because I have a vision for being a man of God and living my life to bring the fullness of glory in my life to God. I want people to see that God is real, that God is alive. I want my mind to be renewed. I want to be intentional about capturing thoughts in my life and renewing my mind. Man, we get hit with thoughts every day. We get hit thoughts with every day. And the world is not going to offer you any kind of good report. The world is not going to offer you any kind. When's the last time the bank sent you a bill and it said your mortgage is paid? When's the last time the doctor gave you the good report when you went in for that first diagnosis? When's the last time? The world has nothing good to tell you. Man, I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. That is our only option. That's why my hope is anchored in that. That the blood that Jesus shed for my sins, man, it put me in a place of favor in my life. It delivered me. It redeemed me. It restored me. My sins are forgiven. Man, a lot of times that's just hard to grasp and hard to receive, but my sins are forgiven. I'm in right standing with God, and there's favor now on my life. I'm not subject to the world's ways. I still live in the world. I still got to deal with it, but I'm not subject to it. Can you identify with being a kingdom kid? Can you identify with the kingdom mindset while you live inside this world? Can you leave here this morning and when you go back to your homes and you go back to your work and you go back to your situations, can you leave here with a different mindset because you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you because your heart's been changed, because your heart's been made new, that you're a new creation in Christ and I have a vision of that preferred future, as Pastor Bill says, for my life. And I'm going to go and press toward it. I'm going to move forward in my life and I'm going to focus on the things that God has for me. Psalm 5:12 says that he will bless the righteous. That's us, the righteous of God. And with favor, you will surround him as with a shield. Can you see the shield of favor around your life today? Can you see that from any angle, no matter when somebody sneaks up on you and something sneaks up on you in your life, a circumstance gets you from behind, you get blindsided from the side, man, you go head on to something, man, it's got to deal with the favor on your life first. It's got to deal with it. It's a shield on your life. Psalm 30, it says his favor's for life, for all the days. There's no end to his favor. It doesn't run out. He's not tapped out right now. He's refilling, going to get back to you later. It's for life, all the days. Psalm 89:17, and in your favor, our horn, which is our strength and our honor, is exalted. The things that you've already achieved. So often we just don't even recognize the favor we're already walking in. The things that are already going so well for us in our life. The things that we already have because our focus so often is on the things that we don't have and on the challenge that we face. And we miss the opportunity to be grateful and gratitude and recognize and celebrate and magnify the favor that's on my life. How great things really are and the good things that God has for me. I want to bring a couple of stories in today to highlight and to help make my point. And the first one we're going to start with Mary. And when Mary received the vision about the promise of this son that was going to be entrusted to her. And so here comes a messenger from God to deliver a word to Mary. Do you understand that this happens every Sunday in your life that you're here? that every opportunity you have to put yourself under the word, a messenger from God delivers a word to you in your life because God uses people now and the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. What if you didn't come to church just about what you could get, but you came with a word ready to deliver and be a messenger for God while you were here? Man, God brought, he sent Gabriel a messenger. The Bible says that Gabriel was sent by God to deliver this message to Mary. And so he comes to her and he says, and coming in, verse 28 of Luke 1, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." He made a declaration. The first thing he said is, "You're favored. You are favored and the Lord is with you." The first thing God does when he comes into your life as a new creation in Christ, the first thing God does is he changes your identity. The first thing he does is says, "You're favored. You're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. You belong to me now. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're seated in heavenly places. You're the righteousness of God. Your sins are forgiven. I love you. I'll never stop loving you. I'm with you wherever you go. Wherever you put your foot is going to be land that I've given you. Whatever you put your hand to will prosper." He gave you a new identity the moment he came into your life. He did it with Gideon. Gideon's hiding in a wine press. He's scared. He's hanging on to what he's got. And he walks in and the angel of the Lord comes in and says, "You mighty man of valor, you warrior." He's scared. The circumstances don't line up with that fact. The word I'm sharing with you doesn't line up with your facts today. It doesn't line up with your circumstances. You're sitting here, even right now, the devil's trying to steal the seed out of your life. I'm still warming up, and the devil's trying to steal the seed going, "Well, I ain't got no favor in my life because you don't even know how hard it was. My car broke down on the way here. I'm out of gas. My bills are all coming in. I got a limp in my leg." All this stuff. Y'all talking all kinds of, like, "I ain't got no favor in my life." However, I don't know where that accent came from, just to roll with it. But, like, I don't know if you talk like that, but somebody talks like that. Right? But it's hard to embrace the favor on your life and to leave here. You're thinking, "I got to go back to this situation." You know, it's like, "I got three kids. I can't keep my house clean." Right? I can't even get to the potty in the middle of the night because my kid's in the way. Right? You're just thinking, "I don't know if it's favor in my life." And we start disregarding or discrediting the promise that you're favored. It's who you are. It's who God says you are. That's the report that I identify with. That's the promise that I've locked onto. I'm not looking at what the circumstances say. I'm not looking at the stock I came from. I'm not looking at the past or the history or what people have done to me or said to me. I'm focused on the fact that I'm favored and God's got a plan for my life. And so, obviously, Mary is perplexed by this. She's confused. Because when I tell you that today, you're same thing. You're going, I'm favored. We're perplexed by that statement because we only look at our circumstances. And a lot of times, our circumstances don't seem to always line up with the fact that you're favored. And so, we just focus on those things instead of focusing on his favor. Man, we know that we're going to face trials and tribulations. We know that we're going to face difficulty. We know there's going to be adversity. We know we live in a broken world. We know that sin still reigns in this earth. We know that we live on the earth where the sin still reigns. But the Spirit of God is on the inside of me, and I'm not of this mindset anymore. And inside this challenge, man, I have overcome the trials and tribulations that I will face. I will overcome the difficulties and the adversities and the lies of today. I'm not going to buy the lies that the devil's throwing at me that I'm not favored. Things can't go well for me in my life. I'm going to identify with the favor of God in my life. And so the angel says, "Don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God." And then he gives her a vision. He says, "You're going to have a boy, and he's going to be the Savior of the world, and he's going to reign on the seed of David, and he's going to be the Son of the Most High God, and he's going to redeem mankind." We call that vision. This boy that's coming into you is about to be the man that's going to save the world. The blood that he's going to shed one day is going to redeem all of mankind. He's going to take the sin of the world and bring liberty and freedom to all the people who want to receive it. To anybody, whosoever will receive this love, man, can live and not perish ever. And so it's like, here he comes and says, "Look, I'm giving you vision for your life." Then she says to me, "What can I expect? What's the next step?" She received it and said, "What can I expect to happen? Because I've never been with a man and I'm not married right now. So how's this going to go down?" Right? Because logically, practically, doesn't make sense. A lot of times God drops that seed in your heart. He drops that vision in your heart. And you're thinking, "I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to get there. What's the next step for me, God?" That's what Mary said. "What's the next step? What am I supposed to do?" And he said, "The angel, that the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. You're going to become pregnant. Yada, yada. What's the next step for you in your life?" It might be just showing up at Second Mile tonight. It might just making a commitment to be here every Sunday. It might be the tithe. It might be something where you have to get something out of your life, or it might be embracing a new relationship. It might be the extra few minutes of the word in the morning. It might be turning off and changing what you're listening to on a regular basis. Pastor Bill touched on it Wednesday night. When's the last time that you've really looked at social media or listened to the news and it really made your heart feel healthy and strong? I mean, really. I think about this all the time with drugs. I've said it the other night, too, when I was closing. Like, when does anybody ever start doing drugs and their marriage got better and their finances got better and their health got better? It's like, why are we still dealing with drugs, right? But we do. Any of these things, because it's our flesh, it's just drawn to it. But I don't know where I was at with that. Oh, the next step in your life. What is the next step? It might be shunning something out of your life, and it might be embracing the things that God has for you. And then the last thing she says in verse 38, Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord." She referred to herself as a bondslave. "May it be done to me according to your word." She received the word. She received the vision. She received the promise. She identified with it, but she referred to herself as a bondslave or a bondservant. AJ, the director of our Sepulpa campus, what up, Age? Preached at our young adult service last few weeks and did a masterful job communicating about the intimacy with God and the opportunity we have with him. But he touched on the idea of a bondservant or a bondslave. And what a bondslave is somebody who has all the rights of being free and being liberated, but chooses to remain in the master's house and to continue to serve the master. That's who we are. You don't have to love God. You're free and you're liberated to live and do what you want to do in this world. But we choose to submit to the Lordship of Jesus. We choose to do it God's way. I choose to trust God's way of doing it. Mary's sitting here going, man, this is crazy right now what you're telling me, God. This is a crazy plan. What about all the shame? What about all the people that are going to talk about me? What about the fact, how am I going to tell this to Joseph? All these emotions come through, but she said, let it be to me according to your word. I embrace the adversity. I embrace the weirdness. I embrace the awkwardness. And I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to trust your way. And I'm going to go forward with the vision that you've put in my heart. But there's always one trap in our life. There's always one trap that's going to catch us. And I want to talk to you about it. It's in Numbers chapter 13. Can I help you with something? The same way that God put a seed of promise in Mary is the same way that God puts a seed of promise in your life every time you're here. John chapter 1 says that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh. God put the promise in Mary. God puts the Word of God, Jesus, the seed in your heart every Sunday. Every opportunity you open the Word. The question is, are you going to let it come to fruition in your life? Are you going to manage the next year and allow that promise to come to fruition in your life? Are you going to be able to embrace and identify with being favored and being hospitable to this promise that you've been put on the inside of you, that you're going to bring it to that fruition in your life this year? But there's a trap. There's one thing that's going to try to keep you from coming to that place of promise in your life. And I'm not just talking about natural things here. I'm not just talking about physical things here. I'm not just talking about resource and tangible items. That's how we immediately process stuff, and that's how we immediately take it and take these kingdom principles and process them through our American mindset and our worldly mindset. I'm not just talking about that. Yes, God wants to bless your family. Yes, God wants to resource you. Yes, God wants you healthy. Jesus paid for all of that, but I'm talking about a quality of life and a health in your heart that many of us have never even really received or experienced. A peace that surpasses your understanding. Do you understand the words that just came out of my mouth? Do you understand the words that came out of my mouth? Did you hear that? A peace that surpasses your understanding. When you don't understand, I don't understand why this happened to me. I don't understand why I got to deal with this. I don't understand why it's this way for me and not for that person. But it's a peace that surpasses understanding. We go back to Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Let me catch you up to the story real quick. Here are God's promised people. A people that belong to God, that's you and me, a people that belong to God, making Jesus Lord of our life, we belong to God. And after 400 years of being in slavery and this old broken mindset and this old way of thinking, much like many of us have experienced, this worldly mindset, this worldly thinking, we come into the house and you hear a message like this and it's like, I don't know how to relate to that message. It doesn't, I mean, I get it, I like it, but I don't know how to process it because for 400 years, they'd been in slavery, they'd been in bondage, but God miraculously delivered them out. And what was supposed to be an 11-day journey became 40 years. And while they're there in those first 11 days, they have the opportunity to go and take the land that God promised them. Now, I want to get past the idea of land, and I want you to recognize and identify that it's the life or the living that God has for you. See, it wasn't just about a land with milk and honey. It wasn't just about the produce there. It was a place they could call their own. It was a place where they could have ownership. It was a place where they could have children and children's children. It was a place where they could have legacy. It was a place where they could walk in liberty and freedom and be God's people and He'd be their God. It was a place where they could experience the peace and the joy of having their own place. A sense of ownership that this is the land that God's entrusted to us. Can you imagine the mindset and the mind shift and the change and the liberty in their heart to have their own land where they could begin to build a future and move forward with their life? And so God tells Moses, he says, Moses, I want you to send 12 spies into the land. And here's what they're going to find. It's a land full of milk and honey. The vegetation, the land, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful landscape. And so the 12 spies go, and for 40 days, they're spying out the land. And they come back, and they bring a cluster of grapes and pomegranates and figs, it says, which symbolically represents joy. The grapes represent joy, and pomegranates have a symbolic, when we look at Scripture, a symbolic reference to fertility. And an opportunity that the land was fertile, but that there was fertility for them to begin to have children and children's children and begin to build legacies in their life. And then figs represented abundance or provision in your life. So here they are. These spies go in and they see what God had told them they would see. And many of us have tasted and seen pieces and elements of God's promise in our life. The moment you gave your life to Jesus, something came into your heart. Maybe you saw a tangible miracle in your life, or you saw something practical in your life. But that doesn't mean that we've completely advanced and moved forward to living in the land that God has for us. I want us to advance. I want me to do that. I want to be able to go forward. And so here they are sitting there. They come back to Moses, and they have all of this proof even of God's promise in their life. And it says, it truly does flow, verse 27, it truly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. And they said, but nonetheless, man, the people that dwell there, they're strong. It's a fortified city, which is only a good report. It's a fortified city. Those cities we're going to take, they're strong. But we saw the descendants of Anak there, which were giants, really large people, right? And they said, there's people that live in the south, there's people that live in the north, there's people that live in the east and the west, there's people everywhere, there's these tribes, these groups of people, there's giants there, there's all this stuff. Yes, man, it was the land of milk and honey. Yes, here's some fruit. Look how big those grapes are. It took two men to carry them. Man, look how beautiful and luxurious it is. But man, there were people everywhere. And there were giants there, and their cities, well, they were big, they were strong. But verse 30, Caleb cuts them off, and he quiets the people before Moses, and he said, let us go up at once and take possession. Take possession. Take possession. Take possession. Take possession. Let us go at once and take possession. Let us act right now and go take and seize what rightfully belongs to us. Many of us, we're going to wait till Monday after this message today. Many of us are going to wait till January and start a new year. The Bible says to act at once, that right now I identify with being favored. Right now I'm going to be the man or woman of God God's called me to be. And I'm going to seize and take advantage and take possession of what God has promised me. I'm going to leave this church service this morning, and I'm going to press forward in my life, and I'm going to take possession of the life that God's called for me. Yes, I've faced this. Yes, I'm in the middle of this challenge. Yes, it's difficult, but I'm going to press forward. Paul said, I put all my energy in this one thing, forgetting the past and pressing forward to the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to go out and press forward at once. Let's go and let's take what rightfully belongs to us, for we are well able to overcome it. Everybody say, I'm well able. Say it loud, I'm well able. You are well able, but I don't feel well able. I ain't been to seminary. I don't really know where the books of the Bible are. I don't know who this person is I'm imitating. I don't know how to pray really. It's like I'm new. I just started coming to church here. I'm just trying to figure it all out. You are well able. You know why you're well able? Because the blood was already shed for you. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to perform. It's not up to you. Can you slap a high five with somebody and tell them it's not up to you? It's not up to you. Because Jesus paid the price. You are already redeemed. You are already restored. And if you can just let your mind shift and say, I am favored. I'm going to walk out of here and possess the land that God has rightfully given me. I'm favored, and God has favored my life. Verse 31, but the men who had gone up, the other 10 spies, said, we are not able. You got people in your life to tell you you're not able? Anybody you work with telling you you're not able? Maybe some of you growing up, your parents said you weren't able. You got people telling you all the time, we're not able. We're not able. God said, we're well able to overcome it. God's pleased with us. Anybody said you're not able, the 10 spies said we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. That might have been true. That might have been a fact. I am not discounting the fact that your opposition today is strong. I'm not discounting the fact that those giants are big. I am not discounting the fact that your challenge and your trial and the thing that you face is not hard. I am not discounting that. They are facts. That is a true statement. They are stronger than we are. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report. What these 10 spies did is they went into the rest of the people, which was millions of people, and told them, said that we can't win. That they are stronger than we are, and they were huge. And the reality is, man, we were like grasshoppers. Again, might have been factual. They might have been really big. But then they said this, that we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, which is a mistake in our own personal mindset. But secondly, they said this, they saw us as grasshoppers. They were spies. They didn't see them. The devil comes along to embellish facts and plant lies in your life that you are not capable or qualified or good enough, that you are not able to do it because the opposition you face is too strong for you, that you cannot win against the thing that you face, the thing that has affected your heart so much, the challenge, the practical challenge you face, the word that was spoken into you that pierced your heart sometime, the heartbreak that you experienced. That thing is too big for you to overcome. And that's what the world has to offer you. When's the last time you got that good report from the world? When are they gonna tell you, the world, anybody in the world gonna tell you that you can overcome it? The world's gonna tell you to get used to it, submit to it, subject yourself to it. This is it, this is as good as it gets. You're trying to live the American dream. You're trying to get that house, trying to get the car. And then when you get there, then what? Where's it gonna end? And they said this, they went on to embellish it. They said it's a land that devours its inhabitants. You see what the devil does? He just embellishes your challenge. And he gets your eyes on how big and how magnified these giants are and how these people, they devour their inhabitants. He wants you to think that it's just impossible for you to win. And so as they spread this seed, these negative seeds all around the group, the group came together and they began to wail. Chapter 14, verse 1. They began to cry, they began to weep, and they began to complain. Woe is me. Why have they brought us out here to die? We can't win. Why has God done this to me? Why did God bring us out of there just to die out here? And they began to complain against Moses, and they said, find us another leader to take us back. I want to go back to slavery. I want to go back to bondage. This Christian thing isn't working. We brought us out of here to die here. This Christian thing doesn't work. Forget it. I'm going back to what I know and what I want to do, because God's going to do what he wants to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. And we put it on God's character as if God has done something, when it's our own mindset, our own fact that we believed the lie, that we can't identify with the favor that God has put on my life. It said in verse 3, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? The emotional attachment to, here we are, they're gonna come out and just turn our families into orphans and widows. This emotional, irrational thinking that comes from fear, from buying the lie that you can't do it, that you're not gonna make it. I had an ankle injury one time, and long story, real short, I felt like God was giving me wisdom. Wisdom's very consistent. Wisdom's very direct. It's very quiet, and it's the same message over and over, and I didn't really adhere to the wisdom, and I ended up hurting my ankle. And I was laying there on the couch, and I had this boot on my ankle, and I got this sharp pain in my calf. Sharp pain in my calf. And I'm sitting there, and you just have to trust me when I tell you this, that in milliseconds, you know how your brain just fires, it's just firing. And in milliseconds, I went to this. I go, man, that hurts. And I thought, I wonder if it's a blood clot. And I was like, what if it breaks off and goes to my heart? What if I die from an ankle injury? What would the church do? Would they celebrate me? What would that memorial service look like? What would my wife do? Would she raise my kids to know me? Is she going to remarry? Is she going to move to Texas? She better tell my kids about me. I had a sharp pain in my calf. And I had my wife remarried, raising my kids. She better tell my kids about me. That's irrational. That's emotional. Can you imagine the 911 call? Hey, I got a sharp pain in my calf and I don't want my wife to remarry. Can you come and get me? It's irrational. Man, our kids, our wives are going to be widows and our kids are going to be victims. This victim mentality. We're going to be victims. Our families are going to be victims because of what I've experienced, because of what I've done. Now my family's all victims. No. What if you separate yourself from that? You took the land that God gave you and your children became victims of the promise. What if they weren't victims of the opposition you face? What if you overcame the opposition you face and they became victims of God's liberty and God's promise in your life and your family? It says this in verse 8 of chapter 14. This is Joshua and Caleb talking again. In verse 8, and they said, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us. Can I help you? God delights in you. God takes pleasure in you. God sings songs over you now. God is constantly mindful of you. You are his children. You have accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life. He is so pleased with you. Trust me when I tell you that I don't feel like I deserve to be up here this morning. Trust me when I tell you that I wake up this morning thankful for God's forgiveness and God's patience with me. Trust me when I tell you that I know to tell you to be restored, that you're restored and redeemed, but I have to tell myself that I've been restored and I've been redeemed, that I'm in right standing with God. We have to exercise it and we have to practice it. We have to utilize it in our life. And so understand that the Lord delights in you and he delights in me. And God has been able to grace me for the opportunity to be up here, that God put it on the hearts of our pets. I value the privilege and honorness to be here, but I don't feel like I deserve it. And you don't feel like you deserve God's favor. And you don't feel like you deserve the future. And you don't feel like that vision that God put in your heart should belong to you. Can I help you with something? The vision in your heart to help people and do something great for God is not from the devil. God has dropped that seed in your life and he wants to bring it to fruition in your life. And all we've got to do is say, I receive it. I receive your favor and take the next step and put yourself in the place. Verse 9, only do not rebel against the Lord. What a not crazy concept to think that if I don't go forward in a favorable mindset, that I'm actually rebelling against the Lord and the plans that he has for me. That's deep. That's almost hard to receive. Don't fear the people of the land. Don't fear shame. Don't fear rejection. Don't fear judgment. God's perfect love eradicates all that fear. God loves me. I'm favored by God. God's leading me. God is with me, and I'm going to go forward, and I'm not going to fear the people, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. You face a defeated enemy. He's not protected, but he wants you to think he's bigger and badder than you or the promise that God's given you. Joshua and Caleb outlasted all the doubters and all the haters. The spies, the 10 spies planted the seed. They ended up living there for 40 years in the wilderness, never lived the life that God had for them. They died off. Joshua and Caleb had the privilege and the honor to lead God's people into the promised land. They had to outlast all the doubters and all the haters. Can you outlast all the doubters and all the haters in your life? Can you outlast the world's hate on you as a Christian? If they hated Jesus, they're gonna hate us. Can you outlast the people telling you that you're crazy for being at church that much? Can you outlast the people saying, man, that's a weird behavior you have? Can you outlast the people telling you you shouldn't give 10% of the first 10% of your increase to the house? Can you outlast the people telling you that negative report? Can you outlast the doubters and the haters? Psalm 44:3, for they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword. It's nothing that you've done. It's nothing that you're going to do. It is the blood of Jesus that was shed for you, nor did their own arm save them, but it was your right hand, God, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you favored them. God wants to do miraculous things in your life. Can you receive that and identify with it today? I close with this thought. I almost titled the message, Opposition is Opportunity. Opposition is opportunity. And then I got real too creative and I was thinking like O2 and oxygen. And I was like, if I got to explain it, it's not worth it. So I just went back to this. But opposition is opportunity. And I really pulled that thought from the fact that I got a certification in CrossFit fitness five, 6 years ago, I don't know when. And when I was there, at the end of it, they said, even though you know this now and have learned these things when you're coaching, but when you're training, you still listen to the guy whose heart rate's normal. And so what I do a lot of times when I'm trying to coach people is that when they're in the middle of a workout, your heart's racing, the blood's flowing, you can't breathe half the time, and you gotta pick up some kind of heavy weight, you gotta throw yourself around, whatever it is, and I'll take a moment sometimes and just say, hey, relax, be intentional to take a breath, be intentional with the next movement. And a lot of times the emotions get so big and it's hard to breathe. The thing that you're facing right now, I mean, you might be facing something that's hard to breathe. You might be facing something where your heart rate is racing. You might be facing something that's causing your emotions to be haywire and be crazy. Can I be the voice of reason on this stage today that's looking here with a relatively normal heart rate and tell you to just pause for a minute, take a breath, be intentional, and move forward in your life. You're very capable of finishing and overcoming this workout and overcoming this challenge and overcoming this obstacle that you face. But a lot of times we get so worked up that we start looking left and right. Take a moment and breathe and see that God has the plan that is on the other side of you. See the vision of where you're going and why you're here in the first place. Trust that God really is going to take this situation and work it together for good in your life and do something great. He's going to do something great. God doesn't put something on you to give you a story. God delivers you out of that thing that you're facing to give you a story. God wants to deliver you this morning. Pharaoh, out of his own greed and his own selfishness and his own pride, inflicted a lot of pain on a lot of people. And perhaps you can relate to that. Somebody hurt you because of their own selfishness and their own pride and their own heartache. But the reason that God's people did not go into the promised land was not because of that one man. It was because of their own mindset. God has delivered you from that one man in your life. God has delivered you from the person that hurt you or the situation that has hurt you. But now for you to go and enter into the life that God has for you, it's not that one man's fault anymore. It's not that thing that you faced anymore. Now it's our choice to receive the favor of God, to identify with the favor of God, catch a vision for my life, and take possession of what belongs to me.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.